Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Nearly 2 weeks into the NFL season. Before you know it, we'll be 10 weeks in. Oh my gosh, these weeks go faster and faster. Already, whatever we overreacted to in week number one has likely been tempered in week number two. For instance, while I don't think Russell Wilson's been completely eliminated from the MVP conversation, I do think that probably handing him the award after 2 weeks would be a mistake. But now maybe it's Derek Carr who is the front runner for NFL MVP. Or dare I say, those of you who overreacted to the Saints and their huge performance in week number one, that's probably got to be tempered some as well. There's a lot to digest. It's why I love, love, love Sunday nights, and I'm so excited to hang out with you guys. Already see your answers coming in. So what's been the most impressive performance or the most impressive individual, the most impressive start to these first 2 weeks of the NFL season? And then on the flip side, who's made you cringe or really want to cover your eyes? Oh, my eyes, my eyes. For those of you who are longtime Friends fans, that was one of my favorite moments. But I won't relive it for you. If you know, you know. To the most impressive end of the scale, well, we've given you four candidates for Monday MVP. We tried to limit it to two quarterbacks, which was tough, but we did it on this particular Monday MVP poll. We managed to do just two QBs, a receiver, and a running back. So you check that out on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or I have retweeted it. And we'll put it up on our Facebook page as well. So we get the Baltimore Ravens, who fight, scratch, claw, give us a fourth quarter to remember against the Kansas City Chiefs. So KC is not going undefeated. Aight. And we knew their vulnerabilities when you consider what happened against the Browns in week number one. Generally, though, it is the offense that can cover the multitude of sins of the defense, and it can make up for all the yardage that the defense gives up. But on this Sunday night, the Ravens defense stole the show in the fourth quarter. And despite an 11-point lead for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs to start that final quarter, it was the Ravens who came back. It was the Ravens who limited the Chiefs in that final quarter, forcing an interception, a five and out, so short yardage, just five snaps, and then the fumble on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So a lot that has impressed me about the Ravens. I know they lost in week one at Vegas, but for them to respond the way they did on a short work week, that right now is one of the most impressive things I've seen to start the NFL season. Again, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, and vote for Monday MVP. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We got to get to those Niners. We got to get to those Cardinals, the NFC West with the Rams. Oh, Seahawks just took a massive blow. You cannot lose a game like they did today in the fashion they did today when you're in a division that is so stacked. So we'll get to the NFC West. Also the injuries, a rash of injuries, and we'll give you what we know. The Dallas Cowboys earned their first victory of the year, and I'm wondering, even with the change at coach, is this still the same old Chargers? The mistakes, the penalties, the one step forward, two steps back. My goodness. So there's a lot to get to. It's clearly a sprint through these 4 hours on Sunday night. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Ahem, producer James, I know this is not the most important thing, but I'll say that this is fairly impressive because I rarely survive the first week on Survivor Island. I usually run out of sunscreen. I start to get sunburned. I get cranky. Then I make bad picks. If I'm not mistaken, you and I both have survived to week number three.
I believe we have both survived. We put the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in. Hey, the name of the game, not getting cute.
Hey, I told you that.
I know. And I've taken your advice, and it's worked well for the both of us. Not getting cute, picking the right game in the right week, taking it one week at a time, and it's working out.
Yeah, don't be worried about week three, because if you don't get through week number two, week three becomes a moot point and a challenge that you will never face. So, yes, we both went with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it's kind of funny because I actually had people tweet me that I had survived to week three. Actually, I forgot. You know how it is. I'm busy taking my notes and not really thinking about my fantasy team, which is actually a good for my stress level, and not really thinking about the survivor pool until I realized the game was over. And oh, yeah. So, yes, for the first time in 3 years, I've actually survived to week three of the NFL season on Survivor Island. So the ranks are thinning out. I can imagine there were a bunch of people who picked Seattle who were stunned in overtime when the Titans came back. So that one was a little bit crazy. So we'll see. We'll check the numbers after we get through Monday night. I wonder how many people dared to pick a Monday night game. Speaking of Monday night, I spoke to Grammy Helen. Actually, we Skyped on Friday for an hour. It was great. The woman who takes the computer into her apartment got busy and left the laptop there. And so we Skyped for over an hour. We talked about everything under the sun. It was fantastic. I felt like for a short while that I was actually sitting with her in her apartment. She's doing really well despite the fact that they've been locked down. But she is actually getting company this week. Both my father and my aunt are visiting and they've received special permission to be in her apartment. Can't take off their masks, can't eat or drink while they're there. I don't know how much time they'll be allowed, but at least they are both going to Wisconsin to be able to see her, and she is allowed to have company coming up this week, so that's good. But that's not why I brought up Grammy Helen. I'll give you a Grammy Helen update later in the week. The reason I brought up Grammy Helen is because I asked her if she watched the Packers against the Saints, and this is my Grammy's assessment of Green Bay. I don't think they were trying very hard. That is what my Grammy said. And then she followed it up with, maybe they weren't using their best players. And that would completely coincide with those of you who believe that Aaron Rodgers is done and Jordan Love needs to be starting for the Packers. But my favorite was, I don't think they were trying very hard. You know what, Grammy? That is accurate. That is true. What did we hear from Aaron Rodgers? He admitted that they probably were overconfident and underprepared going into week one. I suspect that will not be the case at home at Lambeau as they kick off their NFC North adventures with the Lions on Monday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Rich is in Baltimore, and he tells producer James he was at the game between the Ravens and the Chiefs. Rich, how you feeling?
I don't have a voice, and I won't have it for a few days.
It was worth it.
It is so great to hear you, Amy, because you just become so excited when NFL season starts. It's great listening to you.
That's true.
Anyway,
thank you.
The energy level was insane out there, and it was great seeing fans back in our stadium where they belong. The best thing being a PSL owner, you know, season ticket holder, is seeing all the friends I haven't seen in close to 2 years since the last time.
Oh, that's awesome.
In the Baltimore. So it was really great. Ray Lewis made a nice little run through the tunnel, did the thing, jazzed the crowd up. And the one point that I wanted to make, I don't bet on games. I listen to you because you're a fan. And really what I've learned about football over the years that I've been seeing going back to the Baltimore Colts was this. A team becomes a team when they go through adversity, not when they're a collection of players in training camp. And they have to go through adversity. The Ravens, I think, have 14 of their players on IR, the most of any team in the NFL. We were dealt, which really could have been called a death blow. And for them to rise to the occasion, especially after that Monday night loss against the Raiders, to have that type of performance and not give up, even though they had an 11-point deficit. And for Lamar to run in that fourth and one and to keep that ball, not give it back to Patrick Mahomes, that shows them coming over adversity and coming together as a team. So with that, if you're a football fan, that's why we watch the game. That's really it.
Yeah, the fact that it can be such a wild swing in the course of one quarter or one half is huge. But I would agree with you, especially early in the season, you have to play for those momentum swings because every team is so inconsistent. Even the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a couple of blips middle of the game against Atlanta Falcons. So no team starts out the season ready to win a championship. And I would agree with you about the Ravens specifically, but also about adversity. It brings out the character. It brings out whatever is inside. It brings that out. And if you have strong leadership and a veteran presence and you have a team that's built of character guys, you have a coaching staff that has been through the trenches and the wars before, well, generally what you'll see is that when they face adversity, they come together. That's not always the case. But yes, I truly believe that every team has to go through some adversity. You hope it doesn't come in the form of injuries, but with football, it generally does. Every team has to go through these gut check moments. And the Ravens not only stared one down on Sunday night, but they rallied, and that's a huge confidence boost.
Well, come to Baltimore, watch Lamar, and that is the mantra of the Baltimore Ravens, and we're very fortunate to have an organization like that here in our city. So,
when I would say in addition to that, I agree with you, but I would say in addition, you have a head coach who is not so set in his ways that he wasn't able to completely overhaul his offense and trust a young man who, obviously, when he took over as a starter, was, what, 20 years old? And yet this relationship has developed between the two, and he understands how to best put Lamar in positions to succeed. So I'm just as impressed with Coach Harbaugh and the way that he has changed and not expected Lamar to fit what he's been doing all those years in Baltimore.
Amy, you brought up a great point, and that's one thing about Eric DaCosta, our GM, who took over for Ozzie Newsome. He built a team around the strengths of this quarterback who is so unique, and it's exciting to watch him play game.
Well, I'm glad that you feel that way. I'm glad you had fun. You stop talking now, but yeah, I can imagine the atmosphere was completely purple and insane. So thank you, Rich, for your phone call.
Thanks again. Bye-bye.
855-212-4227. Super cool to hear from fans who are at games again. All right, coming up inside of 10 minutes, we'll hit the impressive Raiders and also the 2-0 Niners, though it's not always pretty. But what do we know? Pretty is as pretty does. A win is a win is a win is a win. And let's be honest, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. What I think is some ugly football, you may think, is dazzling and gorgeous and a sight to behold. So find us on Twitter or Facebook. You can vote for Monday MVP. Who's been most impressive? Who's been the cringiest? I will say on Sunday, especially during those early games, I was cringing over the number of injuries, the number of quarterback injuries. And so I wanted to run through those, even though we'll expand on this a little bit as we go through each individual game. But a major blow to the Miami Dolphins as they were taking on the Buffalo Bills. And in that first quarter, you see an injury that could change their entire season.
10:50 left to play, first quarter. It's Buffalo 7, Miami nothing here in Miami Gardens at Hard Rock. Miles Gaskin, the running back, back to throw. Tua throws it behind the intended receiver, Waddle. It's incomplete, and the ball will go over to the Bills on downs.
Boy, Tua looks hurt there, too. Goodness.
And Spencer cracked him.
He's just getting zero time to throw, and that was a quick release, and
he
got popped.
We're getting some tests run. I just asked. Don't know the severity of the injury right now, but we're going to run some tests tonight and tomorrow morning. Hopefully have a little bit more information.
According to Brian Flores, they're going to keep going with the tests on Monday morning. But Tua was knocked out early with what was classified as a rib injury. And so it's Jacoby Brissett who comes in. And by now, you know, of course, that the Dolphins did not score any points against the Buffalo Bills, who come up with a huge win, even though Josh Allen has not yet settled into the groove that we saw last year from him when he had a career year in so many different categories. So we'll get to that. Tua right now injured with bruised ribs. And again, more tests will be run. Tyrod Taylor puts together this incredible first half for the Houston Texans against the Cleveland Browns. I think he misfired on one pass attempt. He already had two touchdowns and yet somehow does not come out to start the third quarter. He is diagnosed with a hamstring injury, and it's the rookie, Davis Mills. What is this, the sixth rookie quarterback who's seen time already to start the season? And so we're awaiting word on Tyrod Taylor, but to my understanding, he's already been ruled out for week three. So for the Houston Texans, they have a quick turnaround, of course, and that's a problem. That always hurts when you have an injury, and you could certainly benefit from a couple extra days. But Houston is hosting Carolina on Thursday night, and the Texans have already ruled out Tyrod Taylor. So Davis Mills will likely get his first career start. You know what's crazy? Deshaun Watson, just inactive, hanging out, watching this whole thing play out on the field in front of him. It's just, it blows me away, that situation, the magnitude. But he's irrelevant right now in, as far as the Houston Texans go, and he doesn't want to play either, so it doesn't matter. You might as well forget all about Deshaun Watson, who is also on the sidelines. But I wonder, will they have to activate him if Davis Mills starts and Tyrod Taylor is unable to go? Don't you need a second quarterback just in case? So it's going to be intriguing to see what happens this week with Houston on a short week if Deshaun Watson will be active simply because they have to have a quarterback. I don't know the answer to that question. Andy Dalton with a knee injury, and this is too bad because he was playing really well for the Chicago Bears against his former team, the Cincinnati Bengals. But after he runs for, 10-something yards, he runs out of bounds, and he's then hopping on one leg. And while he tried to work it out, he could not. And so Justin Fields immediately replaces him. We're waiting word on Andy Dalton. But Justin Fields, well, welcome to the NFL rookie. It was topsy-turvy, up and down. And if not for the Chicago defense, the Bears do not win on Sunday. Carson Wentz, after playing most of the game for the Colts, against the Rams, what does he do? Well, he tweaks his right ankle. And so this is after he throws for a touchdown. Of course, he has an interception as well. But before the late field goal by the Colts, he comes off the field and he's really frustrated trying to walk on that ankle on the sidelines. He does not return. And so Jacob Eason is out there in this game and is trying to lead the team in the throes of what was a battle against Matthew Stafford and the Rams. So those are your quarterback injuries. Baker Mayfield briefly looked like he had his shoulder pop out, or he was trying to make a tackle after an interception. I mean, I love the toughness, but yowzers, no doubt the entire Cleveland fan base just held its collective breath. He did come right back out of the locker room. He started throwing right away and he was good to go. But there goes your season if he goes out. As for the Browns, they lose Jarvis Landry to a sprained MCL. Don't know the prognosis there, but at some point they should get Odell Beckham Jr. back. How about the Steelers? Multiple groin injuries. TJ Watt actually starts and plays in this game, but then is unavailable to finish because of a groin injury. No Joe Hayden or Devin Bush. Starters on that defense also held out because of groin injuries. And then another really painful update from the Philadelphia Eagles and head coach Nick Sirianni after an injury to one of their defensive linemen.
Obviously, with Brandon Graham, we're fearful of what it might be. But we don't know for sure yet, so I don't want to say. But obviously, we're concerned. And, and he's such a good leader on this football team. So if we are without him, it will be a big blow. He's a great football player and a great leader, obviously one of our captains. So we're fearful, but I don't want to just say, what it is yet, because I don't know for sure.
Nick Sirianni may not want to disclose it, and I certainly understand you want to make sure you get every opinion available. However, the reports are that Brandon Graham tore his Achilles, and that, of course, would put him out for the rest of the year. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Most impressive and most cringeworthy to start the season, plus your Monday MVP poll. I knew it. I told producer James there's one guy that's riding the wave that's going to get the majority of the votes, at least right now, in the wake of Sunday Night Football. So check it out on Twitter or on our Facebook page. We're glad to have you with us. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Stafford, Colts bring four. He stands in, delivers to the goal line, and it's caught for a touchdown. Up the left seam to Cooper Kupp. Matthew Stafford goes 5 for 5 on the opening drive. Touchdown, L.A. Stafford will be empty on this shotgun snap. Sony Michel on the bunch of three to his right. Stafford looking left, works through his progression, fires underneath the goalpost. It's Kupp again. Touchdown, L.A. Two receivers right as well. Easton has the shotgun snap. Well protected. Lets it go. Right side. It's picked. Jalen Ramsey at the right sideline. Secures the week two win for L.A.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm excited for Matthew Stafford. I'm excited for him to be on a winning team, a consistently winning team. And the Rams are used to starting out 2-0 under Sean McVay. Doesn't always mean they end up as a top team. But, man, the way that NFC West looks after 2 weeks alone, it is a buzzsaw. You have got to take care of business. And against the Indianapolis Colts on the road, the Rams do just that. And it wasn't just the offense, though, of course, we will talk about Cooper Kupp and his fantastic performance. He is so versatile. He's so fast. He's a monster, and that's a compliment. 163 yards and a couple of touchdowns for him, as you hear with J.B. Long on the Rams radio network. But the defense doing its part as well. Not only that Jalen Ramsey interception that seals it, essentially, for Los Angeles, but how about Carson Wentz under siege by the LA pass rush? Three official sacks, and get this, 11 other quarterback hits. The Rams sack Carson on the goal line. They prevent a TD on the opening drive in the first quarter. And so we're talking about that bold, brash, fierce, in-your-face defense that is not afraid. And so the Rams are up 17-6 on a touchdown drive to start the third quarter. But we got to see some of what this Indy offense can do. An 11-play scoring drive of their own late in that quarter. And then they take the lead on a bad snap from the Rams snapper, Matt Orzech, and it's recovered by Ashton Doolin for a touchdown. And so here are the Rams facing their own adversity in this second game on the road against Indianapolis, and they're trailing 21-17 early in the fourth quarter. But this is where the experience and the wisdom, the vision of Matthew Stafford comes in. We're not talking about a young quarterback here. We're talking about a guy who's logged more than a decade in this league. A 9-play drive and then Cooper's second touchdown with about 12 minutes to go puts the Rams in front. And while the teams do trade field goals moving forward, it's the defense that ultimately slams the door, and then Carson's right ankle injury. But Matthew Stafford with 278 yards, a couple of touchdowns. He does have an interception, but safe to say Sean McVay believes Stafford is one of the most impressive things about the start of this NFL season.
To really activate all five eligibles, he did a nice job of being able to go where the ball, where the coverage dictated. And I think that's the most important thing. We can certainly build on this, but Matthew did a great job leading the way offensively. There was a lot of bright spots, but also a lot of things that we can look to improve on, and it's exactly what we'll do after this.
There are plays in the game. Shoot, I wish I'd have had this. I wish I would have thrown that ball there. But at that point in the game, it's doing whatever it takes to win the game. And last time I played here, 2-minute drive to win the game, field goal to win it. So felt like, why not go do it again? It was great to go ahead and get that touchdown and put us ahead. And then obviously defense came out and made great, two great stops there at the end of the game.
Cooper Kupp, part of our Monday MVP poll. Like I said, we can go so many different directions, but man, how instrumental he is and how versatile and explosive and fast he is too. They can use him a variety of ways, and he will also sidearm guys or stiff arm guys, and then he'll just run away from tackles. So you see him do the same, bouncing off contact, spinning around, and continuing to make headway. The Rams are now at 2-0, as are the Cardinals and the Niners in the NFC West, and we'll get to them after the update. Seattle with a brutal loss, and the reason it was brutal is because they were up 14 points in the second half and could not hang on. You let your foot off the gas for a second if you're not all gas, no brakes the entire way. It's going to come back to bite you in the A double curvy roads. Now, as for Carson Wentz, he was on the sidelines. He was frustrated. He wasn't even on the field to finish up because of this right ankle injury. And here's the latest with Frank Reich.
He rolled it up pretty bad. I kind of had a sense when he walked off the field because I saw it. It didn't look good. Sometimes if you go back in right away while it's still warm, you know, you can maybe gut out a few more plays. But, you know, when the longer we were off the field there, it just stiffened up. And, you know, he tried, but there was no chance.
Make sure you vote for our Monday MVP, or if you don't like our candidates, totally fine. There's hundreds of players in the NFL that you can vote for. Do the write-in ballot, but it's on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So the Colts fall into an 0-2 hole. And in the AFC, get this, only two perfect teams, only three winless teams, which means it's crowded in the middle. I won't call them mediocre because that's not fair. We're still trying to figure out who is the cream of the crop, and we'll see the cream rise to the top as we get through this first month and teams settle into a rhythm and groove and become more like the teams that they were born to be. They walk into their destiny. So melodramatic. But the Colts have got some work to do. Now, in the AFC South, nobody's running away with that division, let's be honest. The Titans, they had to fight for a victory in overtime against Seattle. Very impressive, though. I feel the same way about the Titans as I did about the Ravens, watching them on Sunday night, the way that they just refused to lose. They had to get this win. They could not afford to take another loss. But the Texans lose Tyrod Taylor. They're at 1-1. They were really competitive with the Browns until that second half, and even Davis Mills showing some flashes despite getting thrust into duty unexpectedly. Titans are at 1-1. Jaguars and Colts are at 0-2. Trevor Lawrence has already thrown more interceptions than he did in what his entire season last year. I mean, he just doesn't throw interceptions like this. But yeah, welcome to the NFL rookie. And so we'll get to the most impressive and the least impressive, or as I say, the cringiest performances through 2 weeks of the NFL season. But we're taking your reaction on Twitter, on Facebook, and then our phone number, 855-212-4227. Samuel on Twitter says the Raiders defense is the most impressive so far. Mike on Twitter, my Falcons, I don't know what can be done to turn this losing around. Do you? Well, a defense, some type of a complimentary defense would certainly go a long way. So we're sorting through your reaction, and I feel like we're still just getting warmed up in week number two. There's so much to talk about. So we'll continue through the NFC West, the best of times, the worst of times. We still have to get to what we saw in the AFC East, as well as the Browns picking up their first win. It's a lot to do, but I wouldn't have it any other way. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
High formation on first and 10 from the Cardinals 14. 14-7 Minnesota, second quarter. Ham in front of Madison, play action. Kirk, he steps away to the left. Now he floats out to the left and he throws to the end zone. Touchdown! He's JJ!
Three receivers left, shotgun snap. Back to throw, Murray in trouble, spins out of there to his left, being chased by two Vikings, and launches it deep, wide open, near side at the 40s, Rondale Moore caught at the 30, at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Kyler Murray, you are ridiculous, Murray magic, 77-yard touchdown pass, 99.9% of the quarterbacks on the planet get sacked, but not only does Kyler Murray not get sacked, he throws a touchdown.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
We talked about putting Kyler Murray in our Monday MVP poll, but as you hear from Dave Pasch on the Cardinals Radio Network and then Paul Allen, Vikings Radio Network, this was a roller coaster affair. Talk about the kind of game that jerks you around and just leaves you dangling until the very last second. This was already 24-23 Cardinals at the half. At the half, for heaven's sakes, it was all gas, no brakes in the desert. Kirk Cousins had three touchdown passes at the break. Kyler Murray, he had a couple of his own, plus a rushing touchdown. So get that. Between Kirk Cousins and Kyler Murray, in the first half alone, there were six touchdowns. And the Vikings already had nearly 150 yards rushing. So, of course, they had to come down from that high a little bit in the second half. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS, that's toll-free. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, most impressive and cringiest through the first 2 weeks. Some of you are pointing to Minnesota as cringiest. Wait until you hear what Mike Zimmer had to say on Twitter or on Facebook. We're glad to have you with us. So eight lead changes by the two-minute warning of this game. Minnesota trails 34-33, but Kirk Cousins does his job. Eight plays. They set up Greg Joseph at the 37-yard, well, it's not 37-yard mark, but for a 37-yard field goal. And all I could think is, regardless of which way this goes, we're talking about adventures in kicking. It's so often, at least once a week, comes down to the boot of a kicker.
From 37 yards away to win it for the Vikings. Snap, spot, the kick is up, and the kick is no good. He missed it wide to the right. He missed it, and the Cardinals win it 34-33. A missed extra point. And now a missed field goal at the gun. And Arizona's 2-0.
Throw one pick going in, throw a pick six, and then rough the punter on a fourth down that extends the drive and still find a way to win. That's hard to do in this league. So I was proud of their fight. We got a lot we got to clean up. Wasn't nearly good enough, but they fought hard.
A one-point win for the Cardinals to put them at 2-0. But, yeah, the defense gives up 177 yards rushing to Minnesota. Dalvin Cook with a monster game. Kyler has three touchdowns and 400 passing yards, but he also has two interceptions. And you hear Cliff Kingsbury kind of take you through some of the ups and downs. But 2-0 is 2-0. Mike Zimmer says his team actually isn't that far off despite not having a win.
And, you know, we're probably two plays away from being 2-0. So we'll just keep grinding, keep fighting, and we'll just keep going from there.
I could have told you in April or July or August that I believe in this locker room, the guys in the team, the group we have. And so after two games, you know, my opinion hasn't changed at all.
That's Kirk Cousins, who again had three touchdowns in the first half of this one. Moses on Twitter says the Vikings have been the least impressive or the cringiest. 0 points scored by the offense in the second half, 2 of 10 on third down for the game. And then he points out the kicker misses an extra point, a 37-yard field goal, but he makes two over 50 yards. That's either feast or famine, right? And Moses goes on to say Mike Zimmer, the head coach, also the defensive play caller, and his defense gives up more than 470 yards of offense. And so Moses is saying the Vikings at this point are the cringiest. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I just know that the NFC West is a gauntlet. I mean, we're talking about these teams that can barely afford to give an inch. They can't really afford to take a breath or have a down week because it'll come back to bite you. And we'll get to the Seahawks here straight ahead. But for the San Francisco 49ers, already dealing with a bunch of injuries. But the Eagles, they understand how that goes and how the ebbs and flows of a game can play out. And remember, they blasted the Falcons in week number one, but some mistakes in week number two that will really hinder their ability to score against San Francisco. A touchdown comes off the board when Jalen Reagor goes out of bounds, so realizes that he's out of bounds, tries to cover it. But on replay, they pull that touchdown off the board. And then San Francisco blocks the field goal attempt and pulls off a goal line stand. And so you give that San Francisco defense and special teams a chance to do it right the second time, and generally they will. And then it wasn't the prettiest of offensive displays for the Niners, but they do answer. And here's what blew me away about the Niners. Their ball control on Sunday, they had a 12-play, 97-yard drive. Deebo Samuel with a 40-yard catch and run there, but it's Juwan Jennings with his first career touchdown catch. And then in the second half, a 16-play, 92-yard drive. And this is where we saw the experience of one Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy in the gun. Kittle will line up as a left wing. Next to Trent Williams, three left, two right. They all go out. Jimmy throws left. It is caught for a touchdown! Touchdown! San Francisco! Third down in inches. Will Jimmy Garoppolo sneak it here? Jimmy goes under center and Alex Mack. Does he have a soft spot in that front? Cox, Hargrove right over the ball. He's going to pat Mack's butt, then come forward and pick up a first down. The 49ers will win the game, and they will go to 2-0.
I think as part of being a quarterback, you got to want that in the moment like that. You know, usually I think it's more of a two-minute drive type of thing as a quarterback, but whether it's quarterback sneak or two-minute drive at the end of the game, I want my number called. I hope the guys are, I know that they're in it with me. And it's just in the huddle there at the end, it was a pretty cool moment, just looking at each other in the eyes. And I don't know, we did it three times prior to that, and then we get an opportunity like that to close it out. It makes for a good ride home.
Greg Papa with the calls on the Niners radio network. So Garoppolo with a pair of touchdowns, and this is interesting. We did not see Trey Lance at all in this game. Not for a run, not for a fourth down, not for any type of a package or situation. There was no rookie Trey Lance. Jimmy has a couple of touchdowns, and this is also something that I think is noteworthy. The Niners win the time of possession battle by nearly 10 minutes. Do you normally think of the Niners as a ball control team? Not really, but they are able to limit Philadelphia's opportunities and also, as I say, put together two extended drives that went more than 90 yards each. And so that did keep Philadelphia and Jalen Hurts off the field for long stretches. Nick Bosa with a couple of sacks of Jalen Hurts, who had 272 total yards and a rushing touchdown. But considering that the Niners have already experienced a bunch of injuries again this year, it's important to be able to use all of your tools in your toolbox to win games.
When you can win different ways like that, I think that makes for a good team. I've been around this league for a little while now, and teams that can win different ways, and whether it's offense, defense, special teams stepping up, that's makes for a good team.
855-212-4227. We'll try to work in your calls. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. So they got the three teams in the NFC West that all moved to 2-0 in the Rams, the Niners, and the Cardinals. As dramatic as those wins might have been, it's not supposed to be easy, right? Because then everyone would be doing it well. Against the Tennessee Titans, the Seattle Seahawks with their home opener, they've got the 12s, and they're ahead 30-16 on the road early in the fourth quarter. No, wait a minute. Sorry, I wrote that as a Tennessee note actually on my paper. Tennessee trailed 30-16 on the road in the fourth quarter. So the Seattle is up by a pair of touchdowns at home in the fourth quarter. Got to be careful how you're spitting out these notes. And Derrick Henry found such an incredible groove in the second half.
Tannehill's in the gun with Henry. Titans with one timeout. Give Henry. He walks in. Touchdown, Titans. No review needed.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry, 30 carries, 161 yards.
Tell you what, Tennessee Titans are a resilient bunch of dudes.
I love that. A resilient bunch of dudes. Mike Keith and company on the Titans radio network. Derrick Henry, 182 yards and three touchdowns. He broke loose a 60-yarder, which to me was really the turning point of this game. But it went down to the wire. So Russell Wilson and the Seahawks offense had done seemingly enough. They'd put 30 points on the board, but then a pair of three and outs in the fourth quarter. They can't get a field goal to take that final lead. They go into overtime, and Tennessee, after an initial empty possession, is able to get into range for a field goal try.
This is a 36-yarder to win it. Young man from Klein, Texas. snap, set, kick.
Got it! Yes!
How about these Titans?
Yes! Yes! Yes!
The impossible yes! situation, possible. Everybody said it couldn't happen.
Everybody.
Overcoming their own mistakes and finding a way to get to 1-1 and beat Seattle in Seattle. How about that?
Mike Keith certainly knows his audience, the Titans Radio Network. A little hyperbole never hurts. Everybody was against us. Everyone thought that we were doomed.
Yes!
Well, I certainly know that if the Seattle Seahawks don't completely dry up on offense in the second half, then this likely isn't happening. But forget even the second half. They're up 14 points to start the fourth quarter.
It's not always pretty, you know, but if we can eliminate turning the football over and we can eliminate, you know, easy plays on defense, you know, we got a chance.
They made a mistake and we took advantage of it really well. You know, just not as, you know, we just weren't as clean as we needed to be. Third downs need to go a little bit more in our favor to keep the thing moving.
And so you kind of get the tale of really two games, the best of times and the worst of times, because the Titans are trailing by two touchdowns and really haven't been able to settle into a groove. But that Derrick Henry ability to bull rush guys, and once he starts running downhill, Julio Jones with a huge performance as well, a half dozen catches for 128 yards. And so for Derrick Henry, who is in our Monday MVP poll, instrumental, and maybe this is a boost for the Titans to win on the road in Seattle in overtime. No touchdowns for Ryan Tannehill, though he also did not throw any interceptions. And really, it was the defense that stuffed Seattle multiple times in that fourth quarter. And so right now, the Seahawks are the only team in the NFC West with a loss. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.